Hello, and welcome to the Bamboo Lab Podcast with your host, peak performance coach, Brian Bosley. Are you stuck on the hamster wheel of life, spinning and spinning, but not really moving forward? Are you ready to jump off and soar? Are you finally ready to sculpt your life? If so, you've landed in the right place. This podcast is created and broadcast just for you. All of you strivers, thrivers, and survivors out there. If you'd like to learn more about Brian and the Bamboo Lab, feel free to reach out to explore your true peak level at www.bamboolab3.com.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Bamboo Lab Podcast. Today is, what is the date today? March 12th, I think, of 2024, eh? We got a guy on here that we had back on the podcast. Aired on November 14th, 2022. It was season one, episode 56. And the title was, With Discipline and God, I Can Do Anything. RJ Boudreau, my friend, welcome back.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be back.
Well, it's cool because I studied the numbers last week when we scheduled this. I'm like, let's go back to his first podcast. And I know it's ranked out of 117 episodes, your podcast is ranked number three for our show. It's the third Wow. most downloaded podcast out of 117 episodes. And you've been listened to and admired from North America, Africa, Europe, so a lot, and all those three continents and a lot of countries and cities inside there. And the last time we spoke, you, I believe, had 9 state championships as the head of wrestling coach at Lowell. And as of last week or so, there's 11 now, 11 consecutive, 10 with you as a head coach?
That's correct, yeah.
Dude, that's incredible. And everybody I talk to is like, that RJ, I got to get to know him, blah, blah, blah. And it's funny because you and I have only met the one time, right?
Well, we obviously did the podcast once, and then you came and spoke at one of my events, and so I feel like I know you way more just because of maybe some of the relationships that you now have because of an event that I do. So,
you know, that's one of the best events I've gone to, and I say that, but then I haven't been back to another one to hear another speaker. So that's a commitment I'm going to make, especially now that the weather's loosening up a bit. My travels from the Upper Peninsula down to the Lowell Ada area is just a little easier for me.
Sure.
So what everybody out there, what I want to do is with RJ coming back on, a lot of things have changed for him. Obviously, another state championship or two. He has the record right now in the state of Michigan, all sports, for the most consecutive state championships. So I said, let's get back on here again. So if you could, RJ, since we last spoke 15, 16 months ago, can you give us an update? What's changed and what's in your life, both personally and professionally?
You know, it's hard to really say exactly. It's like, I feel like a lot's changed, but it's just really hard to, you know, list all the things out. But, you know, yeah, like you said, like I've experienced some more success as a wrestling coach, and I really have God to thank for that. He's definitely blessed me, with a lot of skills, but also a lot of people, a great community, and just the place I live and the people that surround me. I'm just truly blessed, and I know that I have God to thank for that. And I really feel like, you know, personally, I have 4 daughters, and they're growing. My oldest is 12, my youngest is 5, and I'm just excited about following them and their sports. I just spent a weekend in Louisville watching my daughter play volleyball at kind of a national event. So getting time off from the season that just ended 2 weeks ago and getting to spend time with my family and my wife and I really feel like we've invested in our relationship with God, you know, individually. We started different Bible studies, different life groups, really just trying to insulate ourselves with good people, all to, you know, strengthen our relationship with God individually, which has really made our marriage that much stronger. And by having a strong marriage, I feel like, you know, our family is thriving. My kids are understanding what it's like to walk with Jesus and to kind of invest into our community, invest into our church. And, you know, they're invested in my success. They're very into my wrestling team, the wrestlers that I get to coach, the competitions. They ask about those things all the time. And it's just awesome that we get to do that stuff together. And, you know, I just read to a first aid class, and my daughter was in the class. I got to read to her class, and it's just cool, like, having those kids kind of look up to me and know me as the wrestling coach and Lexi's dad and kind of stuff like that. So just really just investing into our community personally, which has just really helped me grow as a person. And then, you know, professionally, you know, I'm a school counselor at Lowell High School. It's a great school. I love my job. I love the place where I get to work. You know, being in education can have its challenges, especially as somebody who has a strong faith. And that's kind of new to me. Like, I think on November of 22, when I first talked to you, I was relatively new to, you know, giving my life to Jesus Christ. And, you know, that's been one of the challenges I think we'll probably talk about is just, you know, that change and what it's like to, you know, live in a world where that's kind of weird. Understanding my purpose and my life through Jesus, and then working in public education, and doing that stuff has provided some challenges. But, you know, I think I've really nailed down kind of a disciplined process, you know, like a Nick Saban type process where, you know, I feel like I have a daily discipline in the morning, throughout my day, through the night. And then, you know, evaluating myself on a daily basis, a weekly basis, an annual basis, and trying to get better and to see growth each and every day, and ultimately just to connect with my purpose, or, you know, what God's will is for me and my life. And I've done that in a few different ways. You know, I started the Barn. I think you were one of my first five speakers at the Barn, which I can kind of talk about a little bit, but that's just something
please talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess to talk about the barn is something that has really taken off, and I didn't know what to expect. Like I said, probably 3 years ago, gave my life to Jesus Christ, made him my Lord and my Savior. And I kind of got surrounded by some good people in a men's small group. And we just really was iron sharpens iron. These guys are highly successful individuals who have a really strong faith. And I think Jason Holdridge, who's my pastor, he kind of was the one who invited me into that group. And I just am a guy that I think I'm always trying to find a system or a process or a business or some kind of a way to make things better, you know? And I just couldn't understand how people, you know, don't follow Jesus, don't understand the Bible. And I wanted more people to do that. And I think that's what, you know, Christ really wants us to do, is to advance his kingdom. And I just was like, how do we do this better? You know, how do we get people to go to church? And, you know, I'd ask people to go to church and they wouldn't, you know, they'd say, yeah, and then they wouldn't show up. And so I had this idea of, like, let's just get a network of men in our community and just have them come listen to somebody's testimony, because testimony has such power. There's a lot of power in testimony. And, you know, you never know who you're going to affect by sharing your testimony. And, you know, testimony be just like, you know, what's your life story? What's the struggles that you've gone through, and how has God made that better? You know, how has having a relationship with God made your life better? And that's really the simple part of it. And so I asked my life group or my men's group if they would kind of back me on that. And I'm like, yeah, man, I'll be there. I'll get some guys there. So I found this one of my wrestling dads has a really nice barn. It's absolutely gorgeous. And I just found, like, hey, well, there's a use for that. And I shared my testimony at my church really close to when I did your podcast with you in November of 22. And a whole bunch of people in my network started coming to church because of that, you know. And so I had some people that were like, what's this about? And so I asked, you know, one of my wrestling dads if I could use his barn to bring some people in. And I hired a speaker, and my first speaker was Andy Dirks. And if you guys don't know Andy Dirks, he played center field, batted lead off for the Tigers back in the 2010-ish area, and when they made the World Series. And he's got a really strong faith and is not shy about it, and is a very good speaker. And my brother was in his life group. My brother lived over in Lake Orion. My youngest brother, Ben. I have three brothers. So Ben was the weird brother who gave his life to Christ early on. And we just thought, like, dude, Ben has gone off the deep end. He found God and he's acting strange. but, you know, I ended up following him, and he kind of introduced me to Andy Dirks, and Andy Dirks came and spoke at the first ever barn. And so there's about 50 guys there, and I provide the food, I provide the drinks, and the space. And then somebody comes and shares a testimony, and the men that are there, they network, you know, they talk to each other, they socialize, and they feel like they leave a better person, you know, each and every time. So I do it once a month. I've done 15 of them, and they've all been great. And they all somehow there's always 50 people there or 60 people. I think there's 240 different unique people that have come to it. And there's a lot of regulars, but there's just different people every time, new people every time. And it's been really powerful. And I just had so many people that have reached out to me to meet with me individually because of the barn, you know, so the networking that is done. And I know that, like you, for instance, I know that you have relationships because of your speaking engagement, your testimony that you shared. You've talked to several guys from there, and it's definitely advanced God's kingdom, but it's also just, it's strengthened your network. And I know it's done the same for me. And I think one thing I've had to get better at is probably saying no. Because there's a lot of people that want to reach out, that want to meet. There's just only so much time in the day. So saying no, but maybe just like taking a rain check and trying to really just know what I can handle in a day and what I can handle in a week. So I think that's kind of my update personally and professionally, and just the barn and what that's done for me. I've also done some speaking engagements too. I got asked to speak at a Farm Bureau agency, kind of like summit. And that was really cool, because I got to kind of like hone in on my core values and my purpose and how the process that I go through and the discipline that I have, maybe can help others.
I think when I did my speech there, I think that was the first time you had prayed before the speech, the speaker.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, this is cool. And then you gave that prayer, and I'm like, how the hell am I going to, how am I going to follow that? You know, you're right though. You know, when I was there that day, I remember getting up there, walking up and sitting down on that. I had that bar stool that I sat in front of all those guys. And I looked in the audience and I'm like, 95% of these guys would kick my ass. They all look like a bunch of tough, you know, look like they just got off the oil rig. You know, they're all successful, rugged, you know, gritty men. And it was so fun to be able to share my testimony and in my life story, because afterward, these guys that looked so tough during it were coming up and giving me a hug. I had a couple of guys who were crying, in my face, thanking me. And I have kept in contact with several of those men, some on a daily or weekly basis, that I never would have met. I got to meet your father and sit with him and talk about bear hunting before I even got up to give my testimony. So I really enjoyed it. I think anybody in the area that could any man just searching for his purpose in life with God, and even if you might not even really know if you are a believer or not, you know, it's a place to go and listen to men who are all on different paths in their journey in life.
Well, I kind of forgot to say that. I don't want to cut you off, but like, that is the point of the barn, is for non-believers. So the point of the barn was, like, my idea was, I can't get people to come to church, but maybe I can get them come. I'm serving beer and wine and water or whatever you want to eat and drink, free food. Just come and network and learn something, because if you don't want to go to church, which I can understand sometimes because I was there at one time, just might affect your life and you just don't know how. So there's most of the people that I want to be there are the non-believers. That's the person I'm trying to get in the door.
No, I didn't know that. In fact, two of my bonus sons and my stepsons even came when I spoke that day, and they really liked it. They thought it was very cool. They had no idea when I told them kind of what it was. My one stepson called me and said, "Is this like, are they trying to get me to join a church? What really is this?" They call me B-man. And I'm like, "Oh, I don't know." I said, "I really don't know exactly what it is, but I know RJ, so that's not what it's going to be." And when they both, reached out to me afterward, because they left before I did. And they said, that was really enjoyable. Not at all what I thought. And my oldest stepson lives maybe a mile, 2 miles from the barn. And to call it a barn, I mean, I expected hay on the floor. I mean, this had a basketball hoop in it. I mean, look, I mean, you could live in that barn. It was it's just what it is. It's a really incredible big place for men to gather, or anyone to gather. It was incredible in there. I was so impressed. And then we had Tyler Sigmund come up there, and he spoke and gave his testimony one day.
Yeah, that's correct. So actually, I remember now, you're the 10th speaker. Tyler was the 12th. So he spoke 10 times after you. And Tyler did a fascinating job. Tyler was awesome. He was obviously, he's been on the Bamboo Lab. So
yeah, he was on with me twice. So looking back on this past year and a half or so, then what would you say, RJ, is one of your greatest learnings you've had since we last spoke on the show?
You know, I would say, like, I'm a guy that like takes on a lot. I feel like. And I just really learned to take things one day at a time, and understanding that, little changes, little improvements, add up to make huge, huge differences and huge huge gains, I guess, in growth over a long period of time. And I think really one of the, you know, the simplest ways I've done that is through probably prayer. And I say that, and I am not a good prayer, in my opinion. I'm around some people that can pray really well, but I don't think there's a such thing, actually. You know, it's like, I think 5-6 years ago, I was trying to really hone in on a daily morning routine. And I knew that listening to guys, different podcasts, different self-help books, anything I could do, which I'm sure you've read, we've read probably read a lot of the same books and listened to a lot of the same podcasts and try to optimize our life. And, one of the things that I always heard was meditation, you know, and how important it is to meditate. So I tried doing it, and I know that like when I first started doing it, I'm like, this is the dumbest thing anyone could ever do. Like, I'm just sitting here in a quiet room and, you know, trying to breathe. And, but you know, I kind of, just like anything else, I knew there was enough people that were, to me, like, earn the benefit of the doubt. They're successful and they do it, so I'm going to give it a try. And I really stuck with it. I kind of started seeing the benefits of having a clear mind and focusing on your breathing and just finding some quiet time. And then, you know, that meditation, I think, was just God kind of, you know, pulling me along into his kingdom. And I just could see that that's what prayer is. And it talks about Jesus getting away all the time and finding quiet time to have time with God. And I don't think there's a better example of anybody who's successful than Jesus. So I will sit every morning and every night and get on my knees and pray. And most of my prayer is listening, you know, and just trying to listen to what God wants me to do. And that sounds pretty strange. And I think that's tough for people to hear, because it was tough for me to hear, because I don't ever hear anything audibly. You know, it's just kind of where my mind goes, and where my mind goes when it's quiet. And I really believe that's God, you know, talking to me about what I should do. And he kind of takes me down the path that he wants to take me down. So, you know, just as an example, like, for whatever reason, I've been praying lately, and I just find this need to just kind of buckle down financially. You know, God's blessed me with a good financial life. But I feel like I'm not being a good steward of that. And I just feel like I need to kind of become disciplined with how I spend things and, you know, be content versus, you know, being envious or jealous of maybe so what some of the other people have and what they're able to do. So it's just an example of like the things that I've learned and how powerful prayer can be, and just doing that one day at a time. You know, and understanding over a long period of time, that one day can have a big, big impact.
As you were talking, reminded me, RJ, probably 2 months ago, 6 weeks ago, I was going through a pretty difficult time. I was up in the Upper Peninsula for a week or so by myself, and it was a difficult time. I was struggling mentally, emotionally, and one of the things I thought about what I'm doing right, what I'm doing wrong. And the one thing I was doing right was kind of what you said earlier, is I have a strong discipline process that I follow every morning. And then, I get up at a certain time, I do these activities or prayer, you know, reading, gratitude, journaling, but, you know, it's a process, physical stuff, you know, emotional, spiritual, and mental work. And so I said, okay, well, that's what I'm doing right. And then I said, well, what are you doing wrong? And I realized what I'm doing wrong is I'm still trying to control the wheel of I'm trying to control everything in my life. And it was driving me, pardon my language, but it was driving me batshit crazy. It really was. I mean, yeah. I can't control this. It's too big for me to control. And so I ended up just looking to God and saying, you take the wheel. It's yours. I've been fighting you all my life for the wheel. I want you to take the wheel now. And it was just like this weight was lifted off me. And I shared this last week on the show when I had Kevin Corhorn on. And we talked a bit about this. And I said, and it's interesting when that happened, it was probably 2 months ago. Once that started happening, the things that I was trying to control started coming to me. You know, whether it be clients or a financial boost of some type or more mental or emotional healing. It was like these things I was trying to control. Once I let go, they kind of came to me. And it was just a weird, you know, you can call it coincidence, you can call it whatever you want. I don't think it was. It freed my mind up to be able to, and I said to myself, here's a really good thing to say, Brian, one thing at a time, one day at a time with God.
Yeah. That's true. Amen.
Keep it simple.
Yeah.
Yeah. In a lot of people listening to the show, you know, you may have a different religion, maybe Muslim or some other religion, or you might be an atheist or agnostic. And one of the things I would recommend is, if you're having a difficult time wrapping your mind around the concept of God, for now, just say the universe. Say you use the term universe and see where that takes you. Because, you know, a lot of times when we relax our stringent policies and our stringent belief systems, all of a sudden we start going down a path of, I can't wrap my arm around a God. You know, there are people out there who feel that way. And that's okay. That's perfectly fine. You are in a different place in your journey. But then just say the universe, because we all believe in the universe, and the universe is a big controller. I believe God controls the universe, but you might just say universe and try to meditate and thank the universe, show gratitude to the universe, release things to the universe, and see where that takes you.
I mean, yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think, you know, when I first was trying to back to those days when I was listening to those podcasts and trying to optimize my life and, you know, really trying to find my routine, you know, another thing that I saw was, you know, a lot of people that are billionaires, ultra successful athletes, business people, a lot of things that I saw in common was there was a spiritual side to it. And it was funny because when I get to that chapter of the book or, you know, that portion of whatever their testimony was, I would just pass over it because I wasn't interested in that. And I don't know why all of a sudden I became interested in spirituality and having a faith, but I just think I know God was kind of part of that.
You know, I what I'm seeing though, RJ, is it seems like there are a lot more people, a lot coming forward with their faith than I've ever seen, in at least in the last 5 or 10 years, athletes coming forward in the NFL. There was an actress that won, I believe, an Oscar on Sunday that came forward and just said, you know, God is good. God is so good. I didn't see the Oscars, but I heard this. You're seeing more people coming forward now and being okay sharing their faith and their beliefs. And I think that's great. I think that's a fantastic thing to do. I think places like Hollywood has tried to sequester that for so long. Sorry for anybody who's listening from Hollywood, but I think you're yeah, I'll leave it at that. I wouldn't live there, I'll tell you that. For a lot of reasons. But so in this time frame since we last spoke, as we give an update to the Bamboo Pack audience, what has been one of your big challenges that you've had to overcome?
You know, I really think it's just that change in having a new life in Christ, because, you know, I think I was successful before I did that. You know, I was winning state championships and had a successful wrestling camp and, you know, just nice house, nice family. All these things were done before I really, you know, said Jesus my Lord and Savior. And, you know, once I like read the Bible, and understood like everything that I need to know about how to be is in this book. It's God's word and he put it out there for us. And it's been, I think when I started understanding like the history in the Bible and how much it's been tried to, like people have tried to break it down, to try to refute it, to try to say that it's not real. And I mean, there's been, I think everyone that I've ever heard, and maybe there's people that haven't, but you know, there's these geniuses that try to say, all right, here's the reason why the Bible isn't real. And then they end up becoming spiritual because they realize how powerful it can be. So all of a sudden I'm like doing this, like, oh my gosh, like this is awesome. It's right here for me to read. And then I try to start implementing those things into my life. And, you know, people that are around me that like the way I was are kind of getting concerned, similar to the concerns I had for my brother Ben about these changes that I'm making. But all the changes are good. You know, like I'm swearing less. I'm going to the bar less. I'm staying out later less. I'm spending more time with my family. I wake up earlier in the morning to read the Bible. Like all these changes that I'm making, people struggled with. You know, my wrestling team, it's not like I swore a lot, but I did swear and I didn't really push clean music. And I started making that and they struggled with that, you know? And some of the people in my life struggled with, you know, me not being the crazy guy that I was. And, you know, I still have fun. I still laugh a lot. It's just, I fight less, you know, I I'm less likely to go to a bar and, you know, have a brawl, because I'm less likely to be found at a bar at that time doing those things. You know, it's just, I'm just doing things that are better. And a lot of times those better things aren't what the world wants to hear, aren't what the world thinks is better. Or, you know, like, there's a reason why alcohol is so popular, and why it's sold so much, and, you know, doing those types of things. So it's like, just those changes, I think, have been like the big struggle. And I know it doesn't seem like a big struggle, but it is, because you get this pit in your stomach because, you know, people talk about you and they do things and they say things, and you really start to know that, like, all those things are temporal. And, you know, my relationship with God is eternal, and that's just so cool. So I
think a lot of times, I think probably most of the time, when any individual is on a quest to change and improve their lives, it makes the people around them very uncomfortable. And I think I look at it this way. I think when they look at you and your improvements, they're not really looking and judging you and your improvements. When they look at you, they are seeing a reflection back on themselves of what they're not improving on. You know, we would rather be hold other people down than bring ourselves up. It's just easier. And our minds are designed to be lazy. You know, that's what our minds are designed to do. So if RJ is my friend or family member and he's improving his life, I can do one of two things. I can either degrade him and question him, or I can improve my own life. It's a lot easier to do the former than it is to do the latter. You know,
without question. Yeah. I mean, and a lot of people want to do is they want to use, because there's people that are successful, in, let's say, like wrestling for me, right? There's wrestlers out there that do the wrong things but still have tons of success. And all of the kids, not all of the kids, but a lot of the kids want to say, like, listen, man, that guy, I know smokes weed and I know parties and he's got a ton of girls that love him. And he won a national title. If he can do it, I can do it. And this is not true. You know, it's such a very common thing for people to take that one example and then, you know, use that across everything to say that it's possible. And it's just not the case, you know. And I think if you're trying to be better and do the right things, you're going to have that much more of an opportunity to be successful in whatever it is you want to do.
Well, I think, yeah, I've done that before when I was younger. I would say things like, just like that. Well, that person goes out and parties and look how successful they are. In life, professionally or personally. But then I started thinking they're successful despite the bad things they do, not because of the bad things they do. You know, yeah. And I have enough bad things of my own. I don't need to add anybody else's on there, and just because I want to do what my role model does. So I think you're exactly right. And I think life is tough enough as it is. Wrestling is even a tougher form of life. And I think we need in life and wrestling and everything, we need all of the advantages we can have. And there's no point in putting more disadvantages on ourselves by doing stupid things, alcohol, drugs, you know, carousing with women, going out to the bar, which, I have a question. So if you go to a bar in the area, people still try to brawl you? Like, what?
No, I mean, I think that's something probably a decade ago that I'm thinking of. But like, there was a time in my life where it's like, I would have gotten a fight, and it was just like, it's just so dumb.
It's so dumb. It is. You know, when I was in college and playing rugby, I was always fighting, and I can't imagine striking another person out of anger unless I'm trying to protect myself or someone I love or someone else that's being bullied or hurt. But I mean, I look back in those days and I think, wow, what was I thinking? And I'm still really good friends with three or four of the guys that I, you know, roomed with and played ball with. And they're like, you completely are not the same person you were. You know, I was 30 years ago now, 35 years ago. But I mean, thankfully, many of us grew up. Some of us didn't. But
right.
So when you look at when you get up in the morning, and I know the answer is probably going to be God. So I'm going to say this. Other than God.
Yeah.
What do you think is the primary why in your life that drives you? Values, principle?
I think you can put it however you want. It's God's will for my life. And, you know, it's like prayer is kind of what helps me understand what that is. You know, and if I think back to like what kind of helped me be successful, and I think I've done this. So I got to speak at a conference. I was asked to be the speaker there, and it was one of those things where it's like, man, I don't want to do this because it's a big opportunity, but man, it's going to take a lot of work to be able to speak to these people for 30 minutes, you know? But doing it was such a great experience because it really made me think about what is my why, and what are my core values. And it's something that I've done within our program. And again, we were successful in our program. We were winning state championships before I kind of defined our core values. And I think the core values of my wrestling program are my own personal core values. And so I kind of like listed them out because I know you kind of shot me this question ahead of time. And it's easy for me because I have four core values that I really like to follow. And it's family, integrity, service, and humility. And I just feel like it was good for me to define those things to understand what's important to me. You know, what is important to me when people... what do I want people to talk about when I pass away? You know, and I want those things that I just mentioned to stand out. And really, it's all about helping others. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to help others. The barn is something that I do. You know, I put my own personal money into those events to help others. I want to help other people network and do stuff, and I don't want a darn thing in return. You know, when I'm coaching, you know, I really want to help these young men and women to be better people through the sport of wrestling. You know, as a school counselor, I want to help everybody that walks into my office, and I want to help all the people that I work with. And it's really simple. It's biblical too. Like mm-hmm. I love the Lord, God with all my heart and soul, you know, and I want to love my neighbor too. And I want to try to help any person that I possibly can through the things that I'm good at. And I'm a good wrestling coach. I'm good at talking to people. I'm organized. I'm disciplined. I love nutrition. I love exercising. And I use all of those ways to help others. And ultimately, I know you said without God, but like there's nothing without God. And
right.
It's to advance his kingdom. And but I do that through all the things that I'm doing. So, you know, if you want to take the word God out of it, I'm doing all the things that I'm doing. I'm living my life. But ultimately, everything that I do is really to kind of that end, to that purpose. So, you know, do I want to go on and be a college wrestling coach? I get asked that question all the time. And I don't know. I mean, I take it one day at a time. And yeah. Right now, I can't see myself living anywhere other than Lowell, Michigan, because it is the best community. And I love where I'm at. And I love where my kids are at and how they're thriving, you know, and I love my job. I love what I'm doing. It comes with challenges, but, you know, I can see purpose. I can see, you know, the value of what I'm doing. And, I think that's really what it's all about. I'm not a millionaire. And who knows, if God blesses me to be one of those, then so be it. But right now I'm super happy with what I'm doing.
Well, wealth comes in a lot of forms, and when we only see wealth as defined by how many digits you have in your bank account or your paycheck, that's a really sad existence. And I've seen that happen many times. And honestly, that was a primary goal of mine for probably the first 15 years of my coaching and doing what I'm doing. And in the last 10 to 12 years, it's stopped. It stopped becoming a focus for me. And what I find is when a guest of mine, actually, he's a martial art coach or trainer, has a martial arts gym out in Oregon, and he was on the podcast a year or so ago, and he said, and paraphrasing something, he said something to the effect of, most of my life I chased the mighty dollar, and it always eluded me. And then when I gave I set my goal to helping a million people and just serving others, all of a sudden money finds me to be the sexiest man alive.
Yeah.
Something like that. I'm like, that's great, man. That's it, you know, and you know, when you only have one measurement in your life, in this case, in like money, you're not happier when you have more money. You're not. You have more conveniences, maybe less stress paying bills, but your stress just comes in other forms. And until you're really living your true purpose in life, whatever that is, and you're serving others and doing so, that's exactly where happiness comes from.
Yeah, for sure. Amen to that.
So you have the four values again, everybody out there, for RJ: family, integrity, service, and humility. And I would really challenge everybody out there to determine what your values are. And if you ever need help, you can Google Linick, Linick values test, or go to linickaberman.com, I think it is, on the internet. We had Doug Linick on the podcast a year and a half ago or so, a couple of years ago. We've had a few people from his company on here, and they have a free test you can take. I think it's free. And it really helps you to pin down what your top five values are, or whatever it is. It helped me tremendously in the back, but there's a lot of other resources out there you can go to, but you know, you have to have a foundation in your life. And I think having values gives us a moral compass to really make sure that we're making the right decisions, because there's a lot of stimulation that comes at us. There's a lot of options. There's a lot of temptation out there in the world. And if you don't have a foundation from which to decide on, then, man, it's you're a rudderless ship out there in a really wavy, really stormy ocean at times.
Yeah. For sure. I mean, and it's weird to think about, like, just having those things, but it's just cool to define it and understand, like, what it is that is important to you, because I think everybody knows what those are, but defining them was a really cool process for me to go through.
Yeah, because, you know, one of the things we do, RJ, is I do a talk called, in a lecture called The Compromise Between Food and Poison. And the idea is, in life, you have nourishing people who are food, and you have toxic people who are poison. And one of the differentiating factors that I've determined, I think there are 15 differentiating factors that we find that help you determine, number one, are you toxic or are you nourishing? And are the people around you who's toxic and who's nourishing to you? Is that nourishing food style people have and they live by a set of core values, where toxic, poisonous people, they probably have core values, but they just don't live by them. And a lot of that's because they don't really know, they don't consciously know what those core values are, but they have them. They just don't know how to live by them because they can't die. You should be able to, most people, I think everybody, we should be able to ask any person, say, what are your core values? And they should be able to rattle them off.
Ask them what's important to them in their life, and they should be able to tell you that. But a lot of people just, when you think about people that you're using the diet as an example, like good food and bad food, I think everybody knows what's good and what's bad, but they just don't really care. They want their Coke. You know, they want whatever that guilty pleasure is, and they don't care if it's bad for them, you know. And I'm the type of person that, like, if you tell me that this food is good for you, you tell me that this food is going to make you feel better and it's, you know, natural and it's what you should do, but it doesn't taste good, I will eat it anyway.
I will too.
Because you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, I can't eat that. I'm like, but why wouldn't you? It's the right thing to do. And you know, it's like the same kind of thing is like, yeah, waking up at 5 a.m. every morning is tough, and reading in the Bible could maybe not be entertaining to you. But if you do it, you're going to have a better life and a better connection with your Creator. So to me, it's a no-brainer. Right. Just because it's hard doesn't stop me from doing it, you know?
Well, you know, it's going back to, you know, something we talk a lot on is you have to choose your pains in life. You can choose the pain of hard work right now, or you're going to choose the pain of regret later. I mean, a lot of us choose the pain of regret later by not doing the tough things right now that are challenging for us, like getting up at 5, reading the Bible, journaling, gratitude, you know, serving others, whatever it might be, exercising, eating right, you know, quitting alcohol, drugs, whatever. That's all hard stuff to do. But pain comes one way or the other. You choose which one you want. You can choose hard work right now and some discipline, or life's going to come and bite you in the ass later on. You're going to experience the pain of regret. And that one lasts for a long time.
Yeah, and I feel like I just like to say this right now because I feel like I'm coming off like I think my poop doesn't stink. And my life is not like it's easy because I follow God. But it's better, you know. Yeah. So it's like I still have struggles. I still sin every day, but I just have an understanding of what sin is. And I understand that, you know, when it happens, I ask God for forgiveness and I try to be better. And it's just that's the process right there. You know, as an evaluation, owning your mistake, understanding it's a mistake, not being afraid, being vulnerable, being able to say it was a mistake in that moment, and then trying to fix it and own up to it and be honest and truthful. And those are the improvements I think that I've made, is just owning my mistakes. You know, I can just think of something that happened within our team. We had the team state tournament. We had this drama kind of go down at the team state tournament where his team was kind of starting to pick a fight with us, with our team, and we kind of fell for it a little bit. And this is kind of like in the back, kind of warm up area and stuff. And so I talked to our team, and one of my kids was being kind of like mocking me as I was talking to the team, and I blew up and I threw a chair and I told him to get out and yelled at him. I just acted like a fool. as a coach. I did get the kids' attention, and I did have a good talk with them, but I just not the way I want to be. I don't want the kids to think I can fly off the handle, and that's a good way to be. So I owned my mistake. It took me like probably 2 days. I kept silent. I wanted to like talk to the kid. I want to talk to his dad, and I was emotional, and I just understood like, I need to pray about this. I need to like get in some silence and like really let it soak in a little bit. And I apologized to the kid, even though he was probably in the wrong. I apologized to him. I owned my mistake. And I think I grew from that. And I think so did the kid. So just like an example of like, I struggle every day. I have sin that I experience. But it's just the way I handle that. And I understand it. I think before I would sin all the time, but I had no one to answer to. And that's when you can kind of think life's easy because, you know, you don't have to be accountable. You can just do whatever you want, but that comes at a cost.
It sure does. And I think the key word you said there is you use the word vulnerable. And I think right now, I've noticed this a lot, RJ, in talking with people like you, executives, authors, other, people in martial, I've had several martial arts, experts or fighters on the podcast in the last year. And you get these people who are successful. They're tough mentally. They're tough emotionally, physically in a lot of ways. And they talk about vulnerability at a level they've never talked about before. And I personally think you can't be humble unless you're vulnerable. Because, you know, what you had to do to that student or that wrestler and his family go to apologize, that's a vulnerability right there. You know, you have to own your mistakes. I mean, that takes a lot of vulnerability. But without vulnerability, it's hard to be humble. And I learned, you know, when I spoke at the barn that day, I was really, you know, I was a little nervous, to be honest with you, because I've never spoken. I've never given I didn't even know what a testimony was or testimonial. I had to Google it. I had to Google it when you asked me. I'm like, I'll do it. I got to Google it. And, you know, and it was really interesting. It was shortly thereafter that I spoke there that I spoke at Michigan State University, and I gave the same talk, but I had to give it in 5 minutes or less. It was a timed event with it was a whole thing. There were 15 speakers. And everybody did a fantastic job, you know, but really nobody got up and talked like that. They talked about their product or their service or, you know, they talked about different things. And I'm like, this is because I had a choice and I was going to talk about this thing that I do and coach people on, or I was going to talk about my purpose, how I found my purpose in life, which was really a byproduct of the speech I gave at the barn. And I was talking to a friend of mine out in New Jersey, and he's like, "You know what you have to do, don't you?" I said, "You gotta be raw. You gotta give your story." And he said, "If nobody else does, you'll stand out." And I did it. And I had a lot of people come up to me afterward because there was a little after hours like drinks and dinner thing at the up in a restaurant there. And I had a lot of people come up to me with tears in their eyes. This is 2 hours later, saying that really hit me. And you made me, one was a school teacher of third graders, and she said, that made me want to be a better teacher. And I don't know why, don't know how, because it wasn't about teaching or anything of that nature. It was just my 5-minute version of my testimonial and how, you know, that helped me find my purpose in life. And it's becoming vulnerable, being vulnerable, especially on a stage, is it's not easy, but I find when I become, as I become more and more vulnerable now, I'll be turning 57 here, I think a week from today, actually. A week from tomorrow. Yeah, I'm the 20th. I find that I'm becoming so much more vulnerable and so much more comfortable in being vulnerable, and it's made me a lot more humble because I have to articulate my weaknesses. I have to articulate the things I struggle with. I have to say those, and I can't hide those anymore. Before, I would hide those, and I would try to be someone that I never could have become wasn't at that time, and I was living a lie. You know, and it's so refreshing and so it's just uplifting. And you lift this weight comes off your shoulders when you just say, dude, I'm a mess at times. I make huge mistakes. I make them all the time. I think I make more mistakes now than I did when I was 30. But I just notice them now. I don't know. But
right. Yeah. No, 100%. It's just about, you know, I think once you start being honest with yourself and really, you know, your creator, I just think it opens up a whole world, you know, and it's so important. I think that's what vulnerability is. It's just really being honest with yourself and honest with others.
Yeah, you know, it is. And I get an opportunity, I think, in May to speak in front of a writers or editor. I think it's a writer or publishing. I think it's a team. It's a writers association with a bunch of writers. And they asked me what I wanted to talk on. I said, this is what I want to talk about, purpose. You know, and so I'm going to do about the same thing I did at the barn. It's going to be a little longer, I think. It's a breakfast speech. And so now I get the opportunity to do it yet again. But it all started with my time at the barn that day.
Wow, so. That's cool. Thank you for sharing that.
Oh, you're more than welcome. So I know this question that I'm going to ask Ness is kind of similar to the last question of what your why is, but do you have a mantra that you live by that you kind of, something you say in your head a lot that keeps you going during the day? Your schedule is busy. You've got a lot on your plate. You have a lot of people throwing a lot of accolades your way. I mean, everybody who talks about RJ, I mean, every time I throw your name out there, at least in the wrestling community or in the general West Michigan area, your name is known. Do you say anything that kind of keeps you grounded or keeps you going forward in life on a day-to-day basis?
You know, I would say that it's really come down to you know, what verses kind of I try to live by. And like Colossians 3:23, I listened to Dabo Swinney give a podcast one time, and it blew my mind. Dabo Swinney is an incredible guy. Takes a lot of heat maybe for some of the stuff he does, but that guy is awesome. I don't know if you know Dabo Swinney. I'll just share this real quick. But yeah. He played at Alabama in his junior and senior year. His mom somehow, I can't remember exactly the story, so I don't want to screw it up, but basically she needed to live with him. And she lived in his house in college as he was a senior and junior in college with him so that they could get by. Wow. You know, and just an incredible guy with a good faith. But his life verse is Colossians 3:23, and it just says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart like you're working for the Lord and not for human masters. And I just think about the stuff that I'm willing to do and the core values that I have, and humility and service, you know, and integrity. And so when I'm mopping the mats at our practice, and they see the head coach mopping the mats, like, I want to mop the mats. I don't think I'm better than anybody else, but like, the work that I'm doing is got a bigger purpose, you know? And so when I get a, you know, this task that I have to do that I don't think I'm too good for the task, I just freaking do it. And, you know, I like to get to work, and I just think it's a great like mantra to live by. You're just not too good for anything. Just pick up the piece of trash on the floor, you know, help open the door open for the, you know, the person in front of you or whatever it is that, you know, I'm doing it for the Lord and not for human masters. And so, I just think it's a great verse to live by. And then there's another one too. And I write these things down daily, in the morning, and it's just a good reminder, and it's kind of good to put in memory, but, it's Proverbs 3:5-6, verse 3:5-6. And, it is trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. If you submit to him in all your ways, he's going to make your path straight. And so a lot of times things happen in life and you just don't know. But if you trust in the Lord and understand that if you submit to him, he's going to make it good. Whatever that you're going through that's bad, God's going to make it good. And, you know, there's bad things that happen. And if you have a faith in the Lord, I just think it's just so powerful. And so those are like things that like easy things I write down. So if it's, you're not spiritual, you know, write down, you know, whatever quote that is and kind of live by that quote and kind of understand it. But those quotes or those, I'm sorry, Bible verses that I have, they fit into my core values. They fit into my purpose, very well. And they kind of lead that. So, they are really helpful to have.
Can you say again, RJ, the Corinthians, what was that? Which one was that again?
It's Colossians. Well, Colossians 3:23.
Okay. 3:23.
And that was Dabo Swinney's. And then actually, trust in the Lord, Proverbs 3:5-6 is Kirk Cousins' life verse as well.
Well, Kirk Cousins.
And there's also another. Yeah. And Kirk Cousins has two, and I really like his other one. It's Galatians 6:7. And it just says, God cannot be mocked, or do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. You reap what you sow, or a man reaps what he sows. And that to me is just saying, like, you can think you're getting away with it. You know, like you can think you're getting away with whatever you think you're getting away with, but like God knows, he knows what's going on, and you're going to reap what you sow. So, you know, I think that's just whatever I'm going to make a decision. I think like, all right, I'm going to try to take the easy way out here, and I'm going to maybe tell a little fib, but who are you fooling? Because you're not fooling anybody.
Right. And a lot of times you're not even fooling the person around you. All that stuff ends up coming out. I always say everything you say and do is it's not a bullet that goes off into the distance. It's a boomerang that comes back to you.
Sure.
It sure is. Yeah. And I mean, if you look at Dabo Swinney and Kirk Cousins, I mean, you really can't argue with this, how they've taken their belief system and turned into a very successful careers, and a couple of national championships for Dabo. And I mean, Kirk now is going to the Atlantic Falcons, I hear. He's being traded to the Falcons from Minnesota, but he's had a really solid career in the NFL, and he really changed how quarterbacks were paid and compensated in his journey back in the day. So he was a trendsetter in that way. All right, this question I did ask you back in 2022, and you can pick any date and time of your life, but if you had to go back in a time machine and give yourself some words of wisdom or advice, what would you say to the younger RJ Boudreaux?
I would say slow down and don't be less selfish. You know, and I think, you know, when you're in college, especially being a college, you know, athlete, and you're just so selfish because you almost have to be in a way, but you don't. But you know, it's your life revolves around you, and like your religion is you. And like honestly, I would tell myself to follow Jesus, and I would just hopefully be able to. That would help me to slow down. That would help me to be less selfish and just take in the awe that's around me. You know, like I'm just so much more apt to like wake up and go outside and look up at the stars on a clear night or a clear morning and just take it all in and just be present in that moment and understand like how awesome it is that I get to do this. And you know, when there's a good sunrise or a good sunset, I just like to take those things in. Or, you know, you're in a trout stream and you're fly fishing and you catch a trout and just realize how cool that is. And, just those types of things is like slowing down and taking that in.
I think what you said, taking the awe that's around me. So many of our problems could be solved today if we could just do just that. Be present. I mean, the one thing that you can do that really helps your mind and your soul is to look up at the stars at night. And unfortunately, so many people live in the cities that we've blocked out the starry night.
Yeah.
And when you go out in the country and you look up and you realize how massive the universe is, just our little section of the universe. And it really humbles you, and it puts you in a position of, like you said, I get to do this. And a lot of people don't.
Yeah,
but for sure. And there's awe everywhere. You can be awe in a traffic jam if you really look for it. You just have to be looking for beautiful things in this world. And I say this research a lot, but the University of California, Berkeley, did a study a few years ago that showed for every one positive thing we notice in our lives, our brains naturally notice 9 negative things because our brains are looking for danger and threats. And, you know that's what sells. Look at the media. Anybody who sits and watches CNN, MSNBC all day long, or even Fox for that matter, you're seeing a lot of bad news thrown at us. And that's not really what the world is. I mean, that's a small fraction of the world, but we're so scared because we're sex and scare sells. And so you get that thrown at you. You got to be out there looking for all the wonderful things and the friendships and the conversations you have and the world around you, watching other people help other people. I remember one time, RJ, I was doing what I do now, I know. So it's been the last 27 years anyway. I was going to a therapist counselor in Brighton, Michigan. And I parked my car and I walked. He had an office right downtown Brighton, like up on above one of the stores or restaurants or something. And I walked, you know, a couple hundred yards, a few blocks to his office. I went in there. We did a session. Then at the end, he goes, I want to ask you, Brian, you walked from that parking lot way down the street there. I said, yeah. He goes, what did you notice? I said, I don't know. I can't remember one thing. I was on cruise control walking here. My mind was thinking about problems that I have or, you know, tomorrow how I'm going to pay the bills next month, you know. And it was shortly after I started my practice because I was living in the Brighton area. He goes, okay, when you walk back to your car, I want you to pick out 3 things that you didn't notice before that were probably there. And the 3 things were, first one was I walked by a daycare or a school and all these kids were playing on the playground. And they were laughing and running around. The second thing I saw was there were 2 men playing a board game outside of a store or a restaurant. They were sitting, 2 elderly men, probably in their 70s or 80s. I'm like, that's pretty cool. And the third thing was I walked by a bakery and they were piping out the scent of bread. And I'm like, wow. So 3 things that I walked right by completely on cruise control, didn't notice any of them. Now, when I paid attention, I saw 3 really cool things that 20 some years later, I still remember. And that's what we have to do. Train our minds to look for the good, the awe that's around us.
That's a great story.
It was a learning for me. I wish I could think of that counselor's name, because I really would like to thank him. That was one of the greatest lessons I've been taught in my life. All right, you got 10, 11 state championships now. 10 in a row? Is that what you said?
Personally, as a head coach, I have 10. Yeah, we've won 11 as a program. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, you're a state record holder, 10 times consecutively, and you also have the state all-athlete, all-sports record for most state championships in a row. What's next for you?
I don't know. More of the same, but hopefully better. Just trying to get better at what I'm doing. So I know our youth program that we have here is gotten really big. The last time I talked to you in 2022, we had about 199 kids in our youth program. And this year we had 293 kids registered for our youth program in Lowell. Which you think about that, like, we're kind of big, but not really that big. I figured it out to, like, percentage wise, like, over 15% of the males in our district have an experience with wrestling. Which to me is a big significant number. So something I'm proud of, and really I think I just would like to make what we have. I don't really want to grow anymore. I just want to make what we have better. And I think by doing that, I just gonna enhance my life a little bit. And I have some travel that I'm gonna do. We're going on spring break with my family, which I'm really excited to. We're going to Mexico, and then in the summer, I had a foreign exchange student in between the last time I talked with you. She was from Sicily. So I'm taking all my girls, and she really, God bless us, with an amazing exchange student and a great experience. So we're going to go to Sicily in August, and we're really excited about that. So hopefully get some time going up to the UP to run my camp and do things and just really take things one day at a time. But I don't know. I'm interested to see where God takes me, because, I feel really blessed of what I've been able to do so far. And I just feel like there's a groundswell that's happening in my life with the people that I'm just locking arms with. Guys like you, guys that are in my small group. My coaching staff at Lowell is incredible. Just really good men that I love being around. And I know that they're great guys and they're going to sharpen me. And it's just, so I don't know where it's going to take us. I know it's big and it's awesome and it's fun. And I'm just as excited as anybody else to see where it does.
Oh, well, as you were talking, I'm taking some notes here. And one of the things I've noted since the last time we talked, you seem, I don't know. I don't want to say less stressed. You seem lighter. That's the word. You seem lighter. Like there's been a weight off your shoulder, even more so than, and I'm sure the stresses of life haven't changed for you. Your daughters are getting older. That doesn't make, parenting doesn't get any easier for a while. You have more pressure to win more state championships. If you go from 9 to 10, that's a, you're double digits now in a row, but yet you seem lighter, more, I would say, I don't want to use the term more in control, but, maybe more content is probably the best word, lighter and content.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that a lot. That means a lot to me, because that's definitely something I've trying to work on, just as far as my handling of my stress and my anxiety. And it's amazing what the Holy Spirit and what prayer can do, because I'm really, that's an answer to prayer, what you just said, because it's something that, I've been working on, and I want in my life is to just have that calm and to be able to appreciate, the present moment. So thank you for saying that.
Oh, well, you're an intense dude. You look intense when I met you. And I can see where you get it, because your dad looks intense.
Yeah.
Your dad looks like he could rip my throat out. And he's the nicest guy. I sat down and talked to him. Like, what? That was one of the most enjoyable parts of the barn for me, was that I spent 5 or 10 minutes just sitting there. I was eating my macaroni salad or something before I started talking, or it was pulled pork. And he sat next to me and he was eating, and we just chatted. I'm like, he's a wonderful human being. I really, really appreciated meeting him. So give a shout out to your dad, Doug.
And speaking of that, my dad has came to every barn. He lives 3 hours away, and he lives up in the close to the UP, and comes to every single one. And it means a lot to me. And I think his faith has changed. Like, he's not a guy that read the Bible or was spiritual. And I could just see his faith changing as a result of the barn and people like you. And I think there's power in prayer too. I really do. Like I said, So my dad is an awesome guy, like you said, and it's been cool having him. But he has been battling cancer, and I think if I could just put it out there, I'm going to take this opportunity for the people that are listening to the podcast. If you could just pray for my father, I think there's power in whatever God's will is, but just that, you know, he has peace in whatever his life is right now, and that's just for healing. So,
well, RJ, I know he'll be in my prayers from this point forward. So. And I do believe in that. And I think for those people who don't believe in prayers, but you believe in manifestation, there's not much difference between the two.
No.
It's you're manifesting something. You're sending something really positive out there to God or to the universe. And I do firmly believe prayer works, firmly believe it. And I believe manifestation works. I just don't see much difference between the two of them. One person calls them prayer, one person calls them manifestation. So please pray and manifest for RJ's father on this journey. I know I will be. All right, my friend, as we wrap up here, is there any question I didn't ask that you wish I would have, or any final statement you'd like to leave with all of us?
No, absolutely not. I think it was you do a great job. I enjoy your podcast a ton, and the fact that I get the wisdom that I get to get out of listening to you and talk with other people. So I'm very grateful for the opportunity, and just want to say thank you.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you. Can you stay on the phone for a minute after we're done here?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, my friend, second one around, I know we're going to do a third one. We're going to do a third one, especially maybe before, but definitely after the 11th state championship next year at this time. You do a fantastic job. I want to ask everybody out there, please, let's make RJ's first show with me is ranked number third of all time downloads from my 117 episodes. Make this number one, please. Let's get out there and share this thing. Hit that like button, share it, rate it, review us, send it off to three or four people, because these are life lessons that so many people you know can love. So please do that. In the meantime, RJ, I want to thank you, my friend, for just coming on again, taking time out of your busy schedule. I know what your schedule's like, and being such a humble servant of God and just being an aspiring guest on the Bamboo Lab podcast.
Thank you so much, Brian. I appreciate it, man. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you very much. In the meantime, everybody, we'll talk to you all in 1 week, same time, same place. And I'm going to ask all of you to please focus, say some prayers, manifest for RJ's father, please. And in the meantime, get out there and strive to give and to be your best. Show love and respect to others, but also show that to yourself. And get out there, live intentionally, man. Enjoy the moments. Look for the awes that are all around you, like RJ said. I love and appreciate you all.